Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because this is going to be an informative 30 minutes. It will be one of inspiration, motivation, and education, and we will do it without manipulation. That means we don't have hidden agendas on this radio show, nothing we're trying to sell you, nothing that we want you to join, no solicitations. All we have for you is accurate information from the Word of God. That's right, it's a talk show about the Bible. If you'll stick with me, you'll find out it may not be like any other Bible show you've ever heard before. No ranting, no raving, no yelling, no shouting. Just me giving you accurate information. My job is to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. Your job, orient and adjust to the plan if you would like to. But if you want to get a fair, if you want to get an honest, if you want to get an accurate appraisal of your life and how you're living, then you've tuned into the right show. No condemnation, just information. And so please stay with me because this is going to be an exciting show. We're talking about divine viewpoint. Now, if you have listened to our show before, you know the name of it is called the Flotline, F-L-O-T, and that's a military acronym for the forward line of troops. You know, the whole concept that we teach on this show is that adversity is inevitable, however, stress is optional, because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and adversity is, in fact, what you do to yourself. Stress is, in fact, what you do to yourself. You don't have to have stress. You can live a life free of stress. Now, psychologists will tell you today, you've been all stressed out, you know, have a beer. You've been all stressed out, have a shot. You've been all stressed out, go work out. You've been all stressed out, listen to some music. Hey, I got a better idea. Let's don't have any stress. There is a way to do that. It's called the Christian life. It's a normal Christian experience. It's living your life in the light of the Word of God, even as Jesus Christ our Lord lived His life. And not one time, I repeat, never, not one time was He ever stressed out. Was he under adversity? Yes. Did he worry? No. Was he afraid? No. Did he ever get agitated? No. Did he ever get full of any sort of intrepidation? No. Never. Never did our Lord Jesus Christ face guilt and all of these things that create stress in our life. And so we have been learning how to have the mind of Christ. When we appropriate the mind of Christ and put it in the forward compartment of our soul, it acts like a blocking force. Much like the forward line of troops would block the enemy from overrunning the command post of the United States military. Well, the blocking force in your soul is the Word of God, i.e. the 10 problem-solving devices. And when you learn those 10 problem-solving devices and deploy them onto the flat line of your soul, you can keep adversity from being converted to stress. In some of the last few shows, I've been talking to you a lot about fear and worry and bitterness, and we have gotten into what really is one of the most interesting studies that we can study. We have gotten into studying mental attitudes, and a lot of people really don't have any idea how important their mental attitude is. So I want to review a couple of things with you today because we only have a 30-minute show, but I want you to listen very carefully. Your mental attitude is a function of your human thought, and it's actually, and this is where I want you to get it straight now, your mind is the battlefield of your soul. And you've heard people say a thought can make you or break you. But without a doubt, the battlefield internally is what you think. And so when we begin to think as God wants us to think, we begin to appropriate what the Bible would initiate or intimidate, but what I'm trying to say is the Bible encourages us to have this divine viewpoint. It's a divine viewpoint that's based on the mind of Christ. The scripture that I'm thinking about is in Philippians 2:5, and it says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." So we are mandated and we encouraged to think like Christ thought. Now remember, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts," and God said, "My ways are not your ways." In other words, God thinks much higher than we do. And remember that God said in Jeremiah 9:23, He's looking for someone that understands Him. Not only people that know Him, but people that understand Him. That's clearly what the passage says. So my job is to help you understand the God you know. And if you're ever going to do that, you're going to have to understand this, that the mental attitude, that your thought process, that your thinking, that's what you really are. If because your life comes to be what you think. And if you're going to think divine viewpoint, you're going to have to learn and appropriate the Word of God in your life so you can delegate that power to your soul. That's where the power comes from. The power of the Christian life comes from the superior way of thinking called the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says the Bible is the mind of Christ. So as you appropriate the Bible, as you are filled with the Spirit, problem-solving device number one, rebound, problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Spirit, as you appropriate these problem-solving devices, then you are able to function in the devil's domain with a superior mental attitude. It's called the mental attitude of divine viewpoint. Now, there is an opposite attitude. That's called human viewpoint. And human viewpoint is what the world thinks about it. It's whatever every friend and relative gives you their opinion about what you should and shouldn't do. And that's simply cosmic thinking. That's the thinking of the world. You can turn on the television and see some of the talk show hosts late in the afternoon, and they'll give you a lot of cosmic thinking. They'll bring some doctor on there. They'll bring some person who's had some sort of tragedy, and they'll appeal to your emotions and tell you how great they handled it. And, in fact, they may have. But if you do not handle it as the Word of God states, if you omit God and say, well, I'm capable of handling this adversity on my own, and look what a great job I did, and you did wonderful, here's the keys to a new car. Come on, give me a break. Cosmic system of thinking is out there. And one out of a million people can do what this guy did or that girl did that showed up on that talk show. You can't. I can't. The only way I can survive is not on my own human energy and my own human self-will, my own human determination. It's on the power of the Word of God in my soul. Because that's where my strength comes from, and I believe that's where your strength comes from also. That's why the Bible says God makes war against arrogant people, but God gives grace to humble people. And thinking divine viewpoint is the beginning of the attitude of humility in your life. And you can never learn anything if you're not humble, because humility is equated to teachability. Humility and teachability go together. Just ask a teacher. No teacher can teach any student anything if the student doesn't have some sort of humility. That's the ability to respond and to respond to authority. So if you're going to have any divine viewpoint thinking, it's only going to be appropriated under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit as you listen to the clear and lucid teaching of the Bible, and hopefully under the authority of a pastor. But if you're ever going to do that, then sooner or later you have to start. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's facing marital difficulties, and both he and his wife wanting prayer, wanting to talk, but no, don't go to church, dropped out of the local church, not involved in church, not sitting under the teaching of the Word of God. And so their spiritual life has gone to null and void. There's nothing there. But yet in the human dynamics and human energy, how can we fix this? How can we make it right? And the problem is you can't fix it. You can't make it right apart from the power of God in your soul. And that means you've got to think like Christ thought. So if what's going to happen in order for you to get any divine viewpoint thinking in your life is there has to be something called cognition. C-O-G-N-I-T-I-O-N, cognition. And what that is, that's the act and the process of learning God's Word. You have to have cognition. You got to go to church, you got to sit under the authority of a pastor, and you got to learn and apply. We have a little short acronym called L-A-G, LAG. That stands for Learn, Apply, and Glorify. And the only way you're ever going to glorify God is to learn His Word and apply it into your life. So cognition comes first. And then once you have understood the information, then you have to apply the information. So we have cognition, and then we have thinking. You can't apply if you don't think. So if you let your emotions take control and you begin to operate on emotions, which basically says, I'm going to do what I feel like doing in this situation. It's going to make me feel better if I do it this way. Well, it may make you feel better, but it certainly may not make the outcome any better. So you have to have cognition. You have to have accurate thinking, which is the application of the Word of God you've learned and stored into your soul, and then you solve the problem. That means you understand and you use the appropriate problem-solving device. And there are 10 of them. We've taught them on this radio show. Problem-solving device number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit. That comes through rebound. Problem-solving device number two is actually the filling of the Spirit. That takes the place over your old sin nature. That gives you the power so you don't have to obey your genetically formed old sin nature. So if you rebound, problem-solving device number one, and that's found in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, God's faithful and just to forgive us. And that's how it starts. And then the filling of the Spirit, the Bible says if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then problem-solving device number three, and that has to do with a faith rest drill, and that's taking the promises of God and using them as a shield of faith. Then problem-solving device number four, grace orientation. That's coming to understand that you're saved by grace, you live by grace, you die by grace, and there's more grace in the future. God graces you out, and it teaches you to how to grace other people out also. And then there's doctrinal orientation, grace orientation, problem-solving device number four, doctrinal orientation, problem-solving device number five, that's relating everything you do to the mind of Christ, the Word of God, so that you don't have to second-guess, so that you're able to stay in the will of God, determine the plan of God for your life. And this takes you through problem-solving device number six, which is a personal sense of destiny. Once you have a personal sense of destiny, the monkey's off your back. Now you're living God's plan, not your plan. Now you're on the God's way highway and not on the my way highway. And then we hit problem-solving device number six and seven, which is love. Tremendous problem-solving device, because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So if you're afraid, you don't love God, that's for sure. And so what is personal love for God? That's your greatest motivation in life. And then impersonal love for other people. And that's the ability to take the love that God had for you and use it in relationship to other people that you can't even stand. Because you know God loved them too, because he loved you. What did you think? He just loved you and he didn't love anybody else? You think he didn't love that jerk over there next door to you that you can't stand? Sure, he loved him. He loved him as much as he loved you. And so you have to use that same impersonal love for the jerk next door so you don't vibrate every time you see him. And then there's problem-solving device number nine, which is plus H. That's called sharing the happiness of God. That's the joy that's associated with being in the will of God. That's the inner peace and the contentment. That's the capacity for life that you have when God begins to pour out blessings and your cup runneth over. And then there's occupation with Jesus Christ, the tenth and final problem-solving device. We've got all this in a book. If you want the book, write to me. I'll send it to you. Christian Problem Solving, no charge. And you can look over these things. Continue to listen to the show, and you'll hear me refer constantly to them, and you'll learn them. And if you apply them into your soul, then you can be on your way to becoming the mature believer that God intended for you to be. Because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you're going to have divine viewpoint, there must be cognition, there must be thinking, and there must be problem solving. Three steps. You learn the word of God, you apply the word of God, and you solve the problem. Now, when you begin to think divine viewpoint, when you begin to grow up, then you begin to be a mature believer. And I don't know how long that takes. That takes a while. You don't become a mature believer overnight. You can't go to the altar and say, God, make me a mature believer. Bing, it happens. It doesn't happen like that. You can be filled with the Spirit instantaneously as soon as you confess any known sin. Bingo, you're filled with the Spirit. But you cannot be a mature believer instantaneously. That takes a while. A sitting under the Word of God, applying the Word of God, growing in grace. But once you begin to think like a mature believer thinks, then you're going to find that your viewpoint is different from the generally accepted pattern of thinking in the world. You're not going to think like everybody else thinks. That's going to cause you to be set apart as a unique type of individual. And your uniqueness will be reflected in the fact that your very thoughts and your very actions and the way that you live your life under God's honor code is totally different than the way everybody else lives their life. They'll be attracted to you. It will create a magnetism in you. People will want to know, why are you different? What makes you this way? Why do you not react to pressure? Rather, you respond. Why is it that you have this joy in your life? Why is it you're not distracted with the temporal details of life? See, that's thinking as a mature believer. And so, the mental attitude of Jesus Christ in your life will affect the principles that you live by in your very life, the principles that you operate on in your very life. And these very principles become your motivation for living. You love God. 1 John 5:3 says, if you love me, obey me. My mandates are not hard. And your motivation for living the Christian life is your personal love for God. And that's problem-solving device number 7 right there. So as you think divine viewpoint, as you live divine viewpoint, then your speech and your actions will reflect it. Therefore, what you say and what you do will be, in fact, what you're thinking. Did you hear me? What you say and what you do will be, in fact, what you're thinking. Because the real you is what you think, and it starts in your mind. Remember what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the way you think and the way you speak reflects what your priorities in your life are. What is the number one priority in your life? This is a good question to ask you. What is your number one priority in your life? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your children? If so, that's the wrong priority. The number one priority in your life, in my life, in the life of any mature believer, has to be the Word of God. God said He honored His Word even above His name. That is the number one priority. How do I take in the Word of God today? When I get up in the morning, how am I going to learn God's Word today? You're preoccupied with the Word of God. And when you give that number one priority in your life, then everything starts working. And what if your wife doesn't do that? What if your husband doesn't do that? Should you lay the Word of God down and kind of spend more attention with your husband or your wife so they don't get upset and leave you? Now, you might not like what I'm about to tell you, but this is the truth from the Word of God. Your spouse needs to follow you. But if they don't, if they're not interested, if they are not serious about growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, then you must go it alone. That doesn't mean you leave them. That doesn't mean you abandon them. That means you stay married and you love them and you continue to be the great husband and father that you are. But you find your time alone every day where you study. You get alone. You maybe have to get up early in the morning or stay up late at night. You study. You get into the Word of God. You crack the Bible open. I can think of nothing worse than to have a marriage where the wife or the husband's not interested in what you're interested in. And I think if you're interested in the Word of God, hopefully, eventually, they will be. Maybe not to the same level, maybe not to the same devotion, but sooner or later, they're going to see the difference in your life. You're not responsible for anybody's life but your own. You can't change anyone but yourself. You must make sure that you keep your priorities straight. And so if you're going to think divine viewpoint and speak divine viewpoint, it's going to give you priorities in your life, and priorities, number one priority, is to grow in grace and stay in the Word of God. So everything you do, everything you say, even how you look, will reflect what you think. People can sometimes tell what you're thinking by how you look. You don't believe me? Go to the mall. Take a look at some people. You can figure out how they're thinking right away. You can see sloppy thinking. You can see rebellious thinking. You can see arrogant thinking, just in the way people look. So your thoughts and your speech and the way that you live, it's all a reflection of your mental attitude and what motivates you in life. So that's why I said the greatest battle that you have in life is the battle that goes on within your soul. And therefore, the importance of you learning the problem-solving devices and you deploying the problem-solving devices on the flat line of your soul. The only good changes in your life are going to be made by what you think, not by what you do. It's made by what you think. And when you think right, when the content of your thinking is the most important thing about you, then what you do and what you say will be good also. But to tell you the truth, most people today are kind of confused in their thinking. They really don't know what to think. Part of it is because they watch too much television and they watch too much 24-hour-a-day news. And You talk about getting a slanted view on life. They'll tell you what's going on in the world, and they'll give it to you from their perspective, and maybe it's not. You can see that in the war on terror, the worldwide war on terror today, and you'll hear the news say we're losing, and you'll hear this and that and how bad things are. And the plain truth about it, if you talk to the troops on the ground, they'll tell you that's completely crazy, that the people love us, and the people are glad we're there, and they're glad we've liberated them. They're having a hard time fighting between each other, but it's not because they're mad at us. But the news will tell you a different story. So you have to learn to have enough cognition of the Word of God in your soul not to buy into the devil's lie. See, the public lie is if you tell it often enough, loud enough, and long enough, somebody's going to believe it. So if you read it every day in the newspaper, if you see it every day on the television, then you start to believe this is the way things really are. But maybe, just maybe, it's not. Maybe it's the way it's being portrayed to you, to manipulate you, to shape your thinking. So if you're ever going to be the man or the woman God intended for you to be, you're going to have to think for yourself. You're going to have to be able to access information, process information, and think for yourself based on what the Bible says. And this will develop spiritual skills in your life. And then once you get strong spiritually, you'll be able to fulfill the mandates found in the Word of God about what you think. All of the mandates related to the filling of the Spirit. The mandates related to you growing in grace and learning the Word of God. The mandates related to the 10 problem-solving devices in your life. You'll be able to fulfill all of them because you have the right motivation, personal love for God. You have the right inspiration, the Word of God in your soul. See, your mental attitude can even determine true human personality. That's right. Remember Proverbs 23:6? For as a man thinks in his soul, so he is. And he will say to you, eat and drink, but his thinking is against you. That's right. The real man is what he thinks. So if you want to get to know somebody, get to know what they think. If you look at the outside veneer and say, I'm attracted to this person. Oh, I think I'm in love. They're beautiful. They're handsome. They're strong. Blah, blah, rada, yada, yada. Find out what they think. Can they even think? Do they have the ability to process information and form an accurate conclusion? Before you commit your life to someone, find out what they think. Because if you marry that person and they don't have the ability to think logically and clearly and process information and make rational, sound decisions, then you've married a loser. And your life's going to be miserable. Because what a person thinks inside of his soul is what he really is. And you yourself, me, we'll never be well-rounded people. We'll never have well-rounded personalities with limited vocabulary. I mean, if all we can say is, hey, man, what's up, dude? How about it, bro? Well, I mean, come on. You're going to have a vocabulary to express yourself. See, listen to this. Do you think in terms of words? I mean, when you get hungry, does your mind say, I am hungry, I need to eat? See, you're thinking in terms of words. So if you don't have much of a vocabulary, if all you can think is, I'm hungry, dude, then you're not going to have a very developed personality because you're not going to be able to express yourself. You can't think three sentences down the road. You can't think a paragraph down the road. Do you know when a man gets up into the pulpit to speak, he's not even thinking about what he's saying right now. He's thinking about what he's going to say two paragraphs from now. What's coming out right now, he's already thought about that. He's already processed that, and it's into his mouth and coming out his words, but his mind is ahead of him. It's the way it works. And that's why good communicators of the Word of God have the ability to think two and three paragraphs down the road. And if you are going to be that sort of person, you're going to have some sort of vocabulary. And I'll tell you something else you better have. This is free of charge. You better have a good sense of humor. Because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. And you're going to have to learn that God was in business before you got here, and God will be in business after you're gone. It doesn't all depend on you. So you need to be able to laugh at your own mistakes. And you can laugh at mine, too, because I make a lot of them. But if you're going to have a sense of humor, you're going to have to think accurate. If you're going to have character, if you're going to have personality, you got to learn to think. Because the real person here, in this verse, in Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7, is the person who thinks true Bible doctrine in his soul. Not the person who says, eat and drink because his right lobe is against you. See, that's a hypocrite who invited you to a party. And now, come on over, man, join us. And then you get there and they ignore you. They don't like you. They don't care about you. They just felt compelled to invite you. Maybe to intimidate you. Maybe to show off who and what they have and what they are. But they don't really care about you. You'll learn this in the world. I've learned it. You'll learn that most people never think about you anyhow. They're too preoccupied thinking about themselves. So any system of thinking that demands technical thoughts will improve your mind, your personality, your character, and eventually cause you to have some sort of honor and integrity in your life. And that's why the Word of God is so important to you. Because a person is not a personality. A person is a thinker. It's a man's what he thinks. A person can have a great outgoing personality and think terrible. Galatians 6:3 says, if anyone thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. There you go. I mean, to think you're something is arrogance. And arrogance is the thinking that comes in the form of mental attitude sins, such as you're jealous because somebody has something you doesn't have. You're bitter because somebody said something about you. You're vindictive. You're trying to get even. You're implacable. You can't stand them. You never want to speak to them again. And you're full of hatred. You wish they would die. And then you move into self-pity because you feel sorry for yourself, the way you were treated. See, when you start thinking of yourself in terms like this, it's very disastrous. And that's why God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. God doesn't think like that. The way that God thinks, divine viewpoint. The thoughts of you, the thoughts of me, human viewpoint. However, the mind of Christ, the thoughts of God, are recorded in the Bible so we can know what divine viewpoint thinking is and we can learn it. So in Isaiah 55:8, that verse teaches that what we think determines what we do. It's thinking that determines our decisions and our actions. So when we process God's Word and put it in our soul, then we have the opportunity to live on this earth with an entirely foreign attitude. Not an attitude called human viewpoint thinking, not the attitude of the rest of the world, but an attitude that is foreign to the normal concepts of life. And that's having the mind of Christ. That's being occupied with Christ. And that is magnetic. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, stop being conformed to this world. There's the mandate. But be transformed by the way you think. Renew your thoughts so that you can prove what is the will of God. Namely, divine good production that is well-pleasing to God. See, God wants you to change the way you think. And that starts with you being filled with the Spirit. That starts with you learning the Word of God, applying the Word of God, and glorifying God in your life. And it all starts in your mental attitude. It's in your brain. That's where you live your spiritual life. That's where it starts. And when God wants to check you out, that's what He's going to look at. He's going to look at what you're thinking. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flightline.
Thank you for listening to The Flightline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.